Which way to slide? There you go. Okay, I was sliding it the wrong way.
Turn around somebody and tell you where to see it.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. You know, there's so much stuff going on that if you're going to focus attention on something, you hardly even know where to start. I mean, there's just a lot of activity going on in the world. I want to share something that the Lord spoke to me about the other day, and it's kind of alluded to here in the bulletin this morning. I'll be making some comments about some of the things that are written there and adding a little bit to it. But I want to start out Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace on, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now this was Jesus' own understanding of his own mission. I know that what I am doing is not going to make everybody happy and come into harmony. It's going to create conflict. What I do will create conflict. But now I want us to look at this same idea in a little different perspective from John chapter 7. John chapter 7, beginning with verse 40. Therefore many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed in him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. Nicodemus, He who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and knows what he is doing? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. And everyone went to his own house. May the Lord increase our understanding of his word. I'm having problems. This mic is not working right. I need another one. For some reason. What? Hallelujah. It's just like it's dying here at the source. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, get me going some way here. They're all dying on me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Okay, there now. Now we've got something going here. Hallelujah. I want to call your attention to two verses of Scripture, and I want to look at something this morning that all of us face every day, and that's somebody different in an opinion with you. I mean, have you found out that you can talk to people and they have a different opinion than you? Anybody you met that you told them what you told them and they just looked at you and said, yeah, I believe it all. It's just exactly like you said. Now, that may happen rarely, but generally what we do, and I don't know why it's that way, but, you know, if you and I, and maybe not so much us, but people that we're not used to being around, people that we meet, maybe people we're acquainted with. But if we meet someone and we start talking and we talk about 10 things and 9 of those things that we talk about, we're as pretty much as in harmony about it as you can get. But there's one thing in there that we kind of really don't quite see the same. Human nature being what it is, let me ask you this. In the course of the conversation, which way do we generally tend to go? We generally tend to believe or to focus on the thing that we believe differently. Now think about it. You go someplace and you listen to a preacher preach. And he says a bunch of good stuff, but one thing that he says in that message is just something that you don't know whether you can swallow that or not. But everything else he said was right along with basically what you believe. Now, when you leave that place, what are you most likely to focus on? What are you most likely to remember? If somebody asks you about the message, well, how was the message? Well, it was pretty good, but you know, he said. So what do you got there? You got a difference of opinion. You got division. When it says here in this verse of Scripture, so there was a division among the people because of him. It doesn't necessarily mean that that there was a taking of sides in one sense of the word. It wasn't like, okay, all that are for Jesus over here and all that are not for Jesus over here. It wasn't that kind of thing. It was a kind of thing of even though they were all hearing the same thing that he was saying, they were all watching the same thing that he was doing, they were not interpreting it the same. There was a division, first of all, about who he was. It says, some of them say, well, this is the prophet. Any of you even know what they meant by the prophet? You see, we have a difference of opinion there. But he's talking about the prophet as referred to in Deuteronomy 18:15, where it says, there will arise a prophet after Moses. Some said, well, this is the prophet. Others said, no, it's the Messiah. This is the, we believe that this is the Messiah. And some of the others said, now, wait a minute. This man came out of Galilee. Will the Messiah come out of Galilee? This can't be the Messiah. He's from Galilee. The scripture says that the Messiah will come from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was. Hello. Where was Jesus born? In Bethlehem, the city of David. Okay. Where did he live now? Galilee. What did they assume? He was born in Galilee. What am I saying? Like what I said in the bulletin, these people were making their decisions based upon incomplete information. They didn't know. All they knew that somebody said, it's Jesus of Galilee. But nobody told them, it's Jesus of Galilee, who before that was Jesus of Nazareth, who before that was born in Bethlehem of the seed of David. You see, sometimes we don't have all the information. Some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Well, they want to take him out to lunch. They want to take him to dinner. They want to take him home with them. They wanted to get him out of the way. So they plotted to get him out of the way. And he's still causing division. Because then they come out and say, why haven't you brought him here yet? Why haven't you taken him prisoner? We've asked you to pick him up. And the officer said, wait a minute. You don't know what we're dealing with when we walk out there where this man is. Nobody's ever spoken like this man before. I mean, you know, when he speaks, it's like you just know that's the truth. And so what did the religious rulers say? Are you deceived too? You don't see any of us falling for this stuff, do you? Hey, we are the religious authorities. We are the ones with the education. We are the ones that have been to seminary and Bible school and have our doctorate of theology degree. We are the ones who have come to the realization that you can't trust the Bible because it was just written by men who were trying to promote their idea. And you know, we've already discovered that the supernatural things in the script, these are the religious leaders. And so what they're basing it on is, hey, if it were true, we'd be believing it. Now, even though everyone saw the same things, they had different opinions about the meaning of the events. Sure, something unusual was going on, but is it because he's the Messiah? Is it because he's the prophet? Is it because he's a deceiver? Is it because he casts out devils by the power of Beelzebub? Just exactly what is it? And there was division among the people because of him. The source of division is the opinion of the people. The source of division is the opinion of the believer. Division is always the result of incomplete understanding of the information available. Do we lack information about Jesus' ability and willingness to heal? I mean, do we have to wonder whether or not Jesus can heal, whether or not He will heal, whether or not He wants to heal? Do we have to wonder about that? Or do we have a book with information in it that gives us an idea, if we read the Gospels, that Jesus was not only able to heal, He was willing to heal, and one of His primary purposes was to show people that they were supposed to be healed? Is that too hard for us to see? I mean, it's not like we have to sit around and say, is there any information about whether or not Jesus heals? We got all kinds of information about his healing. We've got people that talk about His healing that don't believe He'd heal a gnat now. But they talk about His healing and how He healed people then. But what's happened? We have developed our opinion. An opinion is what I believe about something. I am free to have an opinion. But if I'm going to have an opinion, I should have an opinion that is supported by the information that is available to me in its entirety. Now, I know that when I take an opinion or I take a position about something, and when I talk about what the Word of God says, when I talk about what is true and what's not, I know that there's a lot of people out there that if they hear me preach, they have a different opinion. And there's a lot of people that think I'm just as loony as I think they are. That I'm just as much in error as I believe them to be in error. If they thought they were in error, they would change. If there's any integrity in them. If I thought that I was in error, I should be willing to change. And that's not necessarily the issue. These two verses are the two verses that I want you to put together. In John chapter 7, verse 43 and verse 53. Verse 43, so there was a division among the people because of him, and everyone went to his own house. And everyone went to his own house. Now, I know that that probably means that they all broke up and went home. Literally. But as I was reading that, I thought that that's exactly what happens that keeps division. The reason there's dozens and dozens of denominations is not because God has revealed dozens and dozens of different ways for something to be. It's because there are dozens and dozens of different opinions about different things. And it's easy to have an opinion. But if we have an opinion, our opinion should be of the nature of the information that is totally available to us. Where is there any information? Where is there any information that speaking in tongues was instituted by the devil? There are denominations that believe that speaking in tongues is of the devil. Where do they get that information? Is there some concrete information that anywhere in Scripture we are warned to stay away from tongues because they're initiated by the devil? Doesn't matter what kind of opinion I have. I'm asking a question about information. When it comes to healing, is there information in the scriptures that is plain and direct that says to us, one of these days, all of the things that are happening in the book of Acts will no longer be available to the church? Is there information? Or is it just somebody's opinion that... And where did that opinion come from? Well, they look around and they don't see people getting healed. So they say, well, since nobody's getting healed, it must not be God's will to heal people today. And what is it based on? Opinion. The thing that we need to understand is this, that no one can claim a complete understanding of the Word of God. When there are differences of opinion, it's not because the Holy Ghost was confused and revealed it one way to one person and one way to another. If I and another believer are in a real issue about a particular thing with regard to the gospel, regard to scripture, both of us can say the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. Both of us can make that claim, and both of us can be relatively sure of our opinion, and we can, the Holy Ghost showed me this. Well, the Holy Ghost has got a problem. He's either got a problem or he doesn't care what we believe, because what he showed you and what he showed me is totally different. Now, the problem is not with the Holy Ghost. Problems with me, or the problems with the other person, or the problems with both of us. And probably if we put all the information out on the table and we had all of the information from both sides, we might find out that we don't disagree as much as we might think we disagree, because here you got some people saying he's the Christ, and others are saying he can't be the Christ because he's from Galilee. Now, if they searched out and found out where he was born, that he was born in Bethlehem, they would have to drop that born in Galilee business if they wanted to follow the truth. And then if they didn't want to accept him as the Messiah, they'd have to do it on some other grounds other than the fact that he was born in Galilee. Because now their opposition has been eliminated. The obstacle to their belief has been dealt with. They have been given information that says, look, he was born in Bethlehem. Now, if they don't want to believe that he's the Messiah, that will not negate their stand against him or their division. They'll just have to prove it on another plane. They'll have to shift their doubt to some other proof. So, what's that? Well, he can't be the Messiah because he eats food with unwashed hands. You see, there is no way to eliminate opinion with regard to our belief about Jesus Christ. It's just a matter that our opinion needs to be based on information that is substantial and true and trustworthy. I don't like, now I'm paraphrasing, or I don't like having to deal with speaking in tongues because it's divisive and it causes splits in churches. And so if you just leave it alone, we just stay away from it, we'll eliminate all of the splits. We won't have the factions, and we won't have people, You know, get, and the same with healing. You know, we got some people and they don't believe in healing because, you know, they're sick and they can't get healed. And we got other people over here that talk about healing. Let's just stay away from the thing altogether because it's divisive. And there was a division among the people because of him. You know how you can eliminate divisions among the people because of him? Just stay away from him. Now, wouldn't that be nice? You want to eliminate all the divisions about Jesus? Just get Jesus out of the picture. Isn't that what the secular world's telling us? Isn't that what the separation of church and state people are talking about? If you want to keep harmony with us, quit talking about Jesus. If you don't want to be considered a bigot and narrow-minded, quit talking about Jesus. They don't even really care whether or not you stop talking about God as long as you just refer to him as God. I mean, you can even give him a name. You can call him, in one group and call him Yahweh, another group can call him Allah. Another group can call him Buddha. Just as long as we understand that we're talking about God. But when you start talking about him, you start creating division. You know, it's going to be interesting one of these days when Jesus comes, and when the kingdom is consummated and all brought together, and all of the false information has been discarded, and everything is set into right, and we look around and we say, "Dear Lord, I'm sorry I was so far off on that." One thing you better not be far off on, though. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through me. You can be off on a lot of things. You can be off on your idea about healing. You can be off on your idea about what prosperity is. You can be off on your idea about deliverance a little bit. You can be off on your idea about how a church congregation ought to be governed. You can be off on your idea about what a deacon is or what an elder is or what fivefold ministry. What's the purpose of the fivefold ministry? You can be a little bit off on a lot of things and it'll affect the way you function here. But you better not be off when it comes to understanding I am saved and I am alive only because Jesus Christ died on the cross and I accept the fact that his blood cleansed me of my sins. My hope for eternal life is in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. There is no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. I can be a little wrong about everything else, but I better be dead on when it comes to that one. So we just might as well accept the fact that there's always going to be division. As long as humans are having opinions. But you know, truth never contradicts itself. Truth never contradicts itself. There is either... Let me change the verb to are. There are either angels are or there aren't. Right? We don't have halfway creatures that are not angels but not humans. We don't have hybrids. There are either angels or they are no angels. Now, my opinion can be whatever it wants to be.
But you see, my first opinion that starts me along the whole line of opinion is, what's my opinion about this book? See, that's where it starts. I can never read this book and have an opinion about it. I can say, I don't believe that book. I don't have nothing to do with that book. And I have established my life on an opinion. That's the first opinion. Now, my opinion that this book right here is the Word of God. That's the opinion that I have. No making a difference what anybody else's opinion is or not. I have the opinion that this book is the Word of God. That's my primary opinion. And now, because of that opinion, I am going to base my other opinions upon this book. Now, whether I interpret them all right or not, I don't know. But when I make an interpretation of this book, I do not make an interpretation of this book on something that's lacking. I do not make an opinion based upon the fact that the Bible doesn't say use steel guitars and guitars and drums and all like that and pianos. The Bible doesn't say use all of those. It says something in the Old Testament about instruments. But I understand that some of our brothers and sisters in the world believe that the Old Testament, God just somehow kicked it out the door when the new one came along. And so now, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us to use musical instruments. So therefore, since it doesn't tell us to, we can't do it. Hello? The Bible doesn't tell us to go on the radio either. It doesn't tell us to go on TV. It doesn't tell us to record CDs and pass them out. These are opinions about what we should do and what we shouldn't. And you're going to always have to live with your opinion and somebody else's. But what we need to do is try with the information that we have available to us to be as consistent and true to the Scriptures as we can, if we believe it's the Word of God, and if we see information that makes us conclude something that we hadn't concluded before, based upon Scripture. And I know, again, that I'm saying something, and you all know that everybody can believe anything and find a Scripture that looks like it'll support it. But it's not dealing with something that looks like it'll support it. It's dealing with the overall information. How about this? Suppose somebody accidentally knocked down a wasp nest. And by some pure blessing, they didn't get stung. Now, what would you call that? You call it miraculous, yeah. But it would be their experience. Okay? Their experience. He's in his own house. Wow, that was awesome. Knocked down a wasp nest, never got a sting. That was an experience. So from his experience, he develops an opinion. And the opinion that he develops is, you don't have to be afraid of wasps. Even if you knock the nest down, they won't sting you. So you're talking to this fella. And you say, you know, I got some wasp nests out in my building. I need to get rid of them. What do you think I do? He said, well, just go out there and tear them down. What? Well, just go out there and tear them down. They won't sting you. Well, how you know that? Well, I tore one down. It didn't sting me. What's more likely going to happen if you follow his opinion? Why? Because you don't base the nature of wasps on that man's opinion. And you know, you can have any kind of experience. You can have some real, real unusual experiences. But when all is said and done, you don't have the right to base God's word on your opinion any more than that person with that wasp had the right to base his opinion on his experience with the wasp nest. I didn't get stung. I was lucky. I was blessed. I was fortunate. I was whatever. But I'm telling you right now, don't go knocking down wasp nests. They will sting you. And on the positive side, it's the same way. Somebody do something, have a positive experience, have a positive opinion. Somebody comes along, well, I tried that and I didn't get nothing. I can't help that. You know, it's just like these people that's been trying for years and years and years. It's been trying for years and years and years to get prayer language, to be able to pray in tongues. Praying for years and years and years. And just wonder why they can't. And it's always got to be something wrong with God or something wrong with the program. It's never, what's my problem? What's my problem? We can never, ever come to the truth if every time there is a division, we all go to our own house. If I hear something that's a different type of truth or a different type of explanation than what I've heard before, I at least owe the person that said it the courtesy to see if there's any substance in what they're saying. Rather than just saying, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You know, I found out that you can be around something all your life and not know much about it. I mean, there's been people that's been raised all of their lives in Pentecostal churches that couldn't tell somebody how to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. I was raised on a farm. But I'll tell you what, don't come to me for gardening advice. I never applied myself to it. What was that quick agreement here? My mom and dad, they could put out a garden, and buddy, it was a wonderful garden every year. I'm 63 years old, and I have never had a successful garden. I've never had many gardens, but the ones that I put out weren't that successful. That's why I wasn't really encouraged to try it anymore. So just because we've been exposed to something doesn't mean that we know what's going on. It just doesn't. I never did really growing up on a farm. I never really learned how to plow. Now I know why I didn't. Now, that wasn't because I didn't want to, but that was because we had one tractor and one set of plows, and my dad had to stand and watch me do it when I was plowing. And he always watched and saw what I, where I was messing up and how slow I was. And his reaction was always, go fishing, I'll plow. For two reasons. First of all, he couldn't stand to watch me. You know, I had to learn. You don't just get on there and know what you're doing. And it was just breaking his heart to see me getting them things crooked down through there. And after I'd tried a round or two, he'd say, well, you're not, so let me do it. You go on ahead and go fishing or whatever you want to do. And I thought, you know, I wonder why he never made an effort to give me at least a chance to get through the learning part on it. And then later on in life, I found out why. Not only was it because he just couldn't stand there and watch me do it and him not doing anything, and he couldn't go do something else because he's going to always be running back out there to see if I was plowing him straight. That was part of it, but his real reason was, I found out later, he didn't care because he didn't want me to be a farmer. I found that out after I was grown, that he didn't teach me a lot of things because he didn't even want me to learn. He wanted me to do something else. I didn't know till I was grown that he prayed for two things when he was young. One of them was a farm of his own and a son that preached the gospel. I didn't know that I was a miracle either. For years and years and years, I just always wondered why I never had any brothers and sisters. I always say, well, you know, they did so well the first time, they thought they couldn't improve anything, so why try? Of course, on the other hand, too, you could look at it and say, man, we made such a mess, we better not do that no more. But then I found out it was because I was a miracle that I even got here. And I can't assume that I was a miracle for more than one reason, and that was my dad's prayer. He got what he prayed for. But we're always dealing with opinions. Don't just have an opinion because it's what you think. Have an opinion because it's what you believe you know. You know, I can't just cut out 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 because I don't like the idea of speaking in tongues. I can't just rip them out and throw them away and ignore them. Now I have to come to an understanding about them. And even within that, there's a whole lot of difference of opinion. But you got to know. And you need to base it on what you learn from the Word of God. And if you sit here at New Life and you listen to me preach, and I preach something that according to the way you know Scripture, it just absolutely won't fit, you let me know about it. Now, if you don't see it exactly the way I preach it, study it a while. Don't just go to your house and say, that ain't the way I believe it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm right, you're wrong. And I want to know if I'm right, if I'm wrong, and I want to know what I need to do in order to get to the right. And I do not ever, ever take an opinion or somebody's idea about Scripture and just simply say, I don't believe that. without ever giving it a look. Now, it may be that I've already given it a look. And what I've found makes me believe that what was said is not right. In closing, we have an example in Acts. Do you remember when Paul went to Berea and he preached? And he preached this new stuff? All the stuff he was preaching was new. And the scripture says that when he was finished preaching, and I'm paraphrasing, the Bereans went home and searched the scripture to see if what he was saying lined up with what the scripture said. Now, could they not have walked out the door and said, "We don't pay attention to him. He's from Galilee." Nope. We seek the Word of God. And as we do that, when we find more and more and more about Jesus, it will create, and this is almost a paradox, it will create harmony and division. It's amazing. They can do both, but it will. But let's go beyond opinion and base our opinion upon something. And what I'm promoting our opinion to be based upon is this book. Let's stand. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes for just a minute. I just want to challenge you this morning. I challenge myself like this all the time. To make sure that I have unshakable proof, unshakable support, clear support, revealed support, for my opinion. There was a time when I would never have preached that anybody should ever speak in tongues. There was a time when you'd have had to put a gun on me to got me to even talk about speaking in tongues. And you know why that was true? Because I didn't know a hill of beans about it. I preached for years, and I would never have preached a sermon and said, "Now, anybody wants to get healed, we're going to pray for you." Why? Because I didn't have that opinion. And within my church, there was an older sanctified Nazarene that was attending the Methodist church where I was pastoring. He was a sanctified Nazarene. He made a statement to his wife one time that all I really needed to be an excellent preacher was just to be sanctified, in the connotation of the second blessing. We'd say you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And he came up to me one Sunday morning in church service and said, "I've got to go to the doctor. I'm having problems. I think I've got an ulcer and they may have to do surgery, and I want you to pray for me. Lay hands on me and pray for me." I didn't have no opinion about that. I'd never done that before. I thought, well, yeah, I know it says it in the Bible, but I don't know too much about it. Okay, if you want me to do it, we'll lay hands on you and pray for you. So I laid hands on him and prayed for him. And was I believing anything? I don't know. I wasn't doing it out of experience. And I said, amen. And he just kind of flinched a little bit. And he said, whoa. He said, I felt that. He said, I don't think I'm going to have that surgery. I believe I'm healed. And I'm thinking, well. And I'm thinking what everybody else is thinking. You know, what's everybody else thinking? Well, the man went back to the doctor. And the doctor told him, you're not going to have the surgery. I don't see nothing. The man never did have the surgery. He lived on the rest of his life and never did have any more problems with it. And here I am, forced to come to an opinion. Now I can either say, I don't believe God heals today. And what would my opinion be based on? What somebody else told me. And then I saw after that, boy, the Bible talks a lot about healing. So I think I'll just believe it. That's why I'm going to rest my opinion on what the Word of God says. That's what I challenge you to do. Heavenly Father, it's a lot of things that are important. A lot of things that we're going to have an opinion on. A lot of things that we're going to need the truth on. But help us, Lord God, to get past any prejudices, any false information, any preconceived ideas or attitudes, and let our opinion rest upon what you reveal to us in the Word of God. And I know, Lord God, that we're not going to be able to always see it exactly, but with honesty of heart and truth, we can come more and more and more to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what we all want, because the truth sets us free. The truth works. The truth gets us through. The truth preserves us. The truth edifies us. The truth enlightens us. The truth strengthens us. And it's all there in your Word. Lord God, sanctify us by the truth. Your Word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to remind you before you go, New Life is having the Lenten service for the community this Wednesday at 12 o'clock. Some ladies that you want to say?
Just need you to sign up for what you can bring tonight, or bring it by my house, or bring it by the church. There's some needs that we have. Our church is responsible for the drinks and the sandwiches.